From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, part of Speak Up Talk Radio's many services, home to the International Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and our newest book song, where we create a musical masterpiece to highlight your book. I am Pat Rulo, and today I'm very happy to share a recent Firebird Book Award winning author with you, Kirsten Shooter, and her award winning book is titled Inside Dwellers, Book One. Kirsten resides in the mountains of Virginia with her family and a host of pets and farm animals. She has been telecommuting for most of a decade, homeschooling her kids for over a year, and writing most of her adult life. Presently, she works with various online publications, writes her own books, and runs Apex Literary Management, a growing boutique literary agency. And today, we are diving into her newest book, Inside Dweller, Book One. Imagine surviving a devastating car accident only to be haunted by visions of a stranger who may not be a hallucination at all. Is it trauma? Is it the supernatural? Or is it something far darker that could threaten all of humanity? We are about to find out more. Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, Kirsten.
Thank you so much.
Well, I am happy you're here today and congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award.
It's a great honor. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for joining us. All righty. Well, looking at your full bio, I see that you have written nonfiction, realistic fiction, short stories, and now a science fantasy, kind of a mashup. What drew you to create something so genre blending with Inside Dweller?
It simply possesses like everything that I'm interested in. I'm kind of a supernatural buff, and I will watch and read on the supernatural. I'm also spiritual as well, and you know, very open-minded to how the world sees the other side after we die. And the book actually possesses a great deal of subjects and themes that I'm interested in. I said, well, you know, I might as well write a book that, you know, pleases me, and I know I'm not alone in this. So I was pretty certain that there are other people in the world who hold an endless fascination with these subject matters as I do. So I just wanted to write something that other people would enjoy as well, and explore the, you know, I believe that, you know, humans have a very limited understanding of, you know, the spirit world, because we're just confined by our physical bodies. But I believe that, you know, if we keep striving, maybe we can all understand, what, you know, other realities, other dimensions, you know, are like. Maybe the possibility is endless, or maybe we can amass somehow, a knowledge. And, it's within that spirit that I wrote Inside Dweller Genesis.
To write what you know or what you're passionate about, I think that is then truly felt by your reading audience, because even if it's a topic they haven't given much thought to, just feeling your passion and emotion come through the words could prompt many people to become interested and to take a deeper dive into this.
I hope so. You know, I'm not exactly writing for the skeptic, but at the end of it, if the skeptic might read it and say, you know, wow, you know, maybe I should give this more thought, that, you know, that would be great. But basically, it's written for people who, you know, are willing to entertain some of the ideas in the book. So,
right. And I was thinking about your background, homeschooling, farm life, and running a literary agency. It's so unique. How do those experiences translate? How do they influence your fiction writing?
Well, I believe that my fiction writing is actually just influenced heavily by my husband, who had passed this past year. And if being able to sit with him and discuss things in detail about people in general and how people work he made a heavy contribution to the book. And a homeschooling gave us an opportunity to just kind of make everything home-based and central. So that I could work from home and I could get to know someone so well. So that includes, my husband and my children. Mm-hmm. Not many people have the opportunity to just, be home and do everything from home. Although more these days since the pandemic, but it's been a wonderful opportunity to, just become closer to my family. And I believe it's on that level that, it plays into my fiction, so that, because when people read Inside Dweller, they get hooked on the sisters right away. And they, they say, I love the relationship between the two. And if everything wasn't so home central, I'm thinking maybe I wouldn't be able to create that feeling of closeness in the book.
And I want to share my condolences with you regarding your husband. I'm sorry, so sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
Yeah, my husband, and I wasn't going to, I haven't shared this with too many people, but he passed away 10 days ago.
So, oh my goodness, I am so sorry.
I know, so I'm a little raw, but that's good.
Yeah.
All righty, let's get into your book. Tell us a bit, give us a peek, Inside Dweller, what it's all about. And we'll give our listeners a little tease.
Okay, well, Inside Dweller is about a woman who, experiences some phenomenon is occurring with her that's hinted at the beginning of the book, but explained a little bit more in depth later. And it's also implied that these challenges might have played into the car accident, but something strange happens to her after the car accident. She experiences visions of a post-apocalyptic world. But then when she's awakened, at her hospital bed, she sees, a dark stranger towering over her. And all of this was really chalked up to the fact that, she sustained, an injury to her head. She was unconscious for about 10 days. It's not really known, how much of it was just the car accident or if the visions did it. And she, but when she awakens, everybody just passes it off as, oh yeah, well, the alien, the visions you had, it could just be the fact that you're intubated, because people get visions of, an alien it's experimenting on them. And this is true, actually. I had done research on this, that, people are intubated when they have the tube go down their esophagus, mm-hmm. so that they can continue breathing. They often, since they're half in and out of it, they think that aliens are experimenting on them. Mm-hmm. And but this is all just all the visions she had were just chalked up to that. And then she has another strange incident during Thanksgiving. And then after that, she's confronted with the dark stranger in her own home, or so she thinks. When she awakens, there's no physical signs of the attack. And then she's doesn't even know if she's losing her mind. So she goes to visit a specialist who helps recover memories, and that's when the real fun begins.
It's a wild ride. Her journey blurs the lines between reality, hallucination, and the supernatural. So, how did you balance, let's say, the psychological depth with the more fantastical horror and sci-fi elements? It's a lot going on.
Well, I feel that while a lot of supernatural stories, they are very entertaining. I wanted to write something where it was more realistic and more in line with how the supernatural actually occurs in real life. And then, of course, I added my own flair for the fantastic on top of that. But every element in the story is, created with the fact that there's some tie-in with reality, our physical living. And you'll find that a lot of people, I always get asked, how do you make up? How did you make up all these elements? So people actually expect you to make everything up. And I often reply that I've made up some, but a lot of things that I include in the book have a basis in reality first. And by reality, I mean what people have reported, or some psychological element that's maybe not popular, but that I've come to know is real anyway. And then I expound upon it and maybe embellish it a little bit from there, but not a terrible lot, not too much, of a sinkhole, a giant sinkhole doesn't open up and swallow everything. It just, it's more along the lines of this is all, based in reality, and then blends in the supernatural with it so that it seems more plausible and believable if you have a more elastic and open-minded mind. Maybe you can imagine these things happening because they stem from either other people's real life situations where they experience some of this stuff, or if you believe in the energetic component of people in general.
And that you focused on reality, and reality is kind of central to this book. People can understand memory and trauma and inner demons, and those are all part of, I would say, some of the themes in the book. Interesting that you decided to explore these themes through a post-apocalyptic and paranormal lens. I think most of those topics are pretty much like a nonfiction type of a subject. And so it's interesting that you did it through these different lenses. Let's just talk about that for a minute.
It's basically if the world were to end, a lot of course through fantasy, it's fun to think that everything is going to end with like a huge bang and or maybe an explosion, and how would we deal with that? That's all. When we explore fantasies and we read about it, we want to envision ourselves in that. But in terms of reality, I wanted to make you know, the memory a little longer in terms of what people would be dealing with and how to solve the problems, more of a culmination of our collected knowledge rather than, there's a firebomb coming after, you know, like it's coming at us, duck. I wanted to make it a little deeper than that. There might be, you know, things like that in the sequel, but because, you know, it's just heating, the conflict is just heating up. Although there was enough conflict in the first book, but, you know, I wanted to, you know, bring in our collective knowledge of our collective knowledge of, you know, what the afterlife is, what, you know, the spiritual realm is, you know, what's going on here on Earth in terms of our knowledge and interaction with the spirit realm. And that's, you know, a lot of people are surprised, for instance, that there are New Age spiritual elements in the book. I had one person from India who said, "Oh, you know, this is not how we interpret it." And I said, "Well, I know, but this is how Americans understand this knowledge, and that knowledge has kind of been added upon and things like that." And so, you know, a lot of people are surprised, for example, that, you know, the New Age element is in there. But, you know, if you're going to talk about spirituality, maybe some New Age is required for that. You know, that's why it just has so much in it, because, you know, I guess I had grand ambitions for the novel. So
I had not planned on taking this angle, but since you and I are both in very similar situations and having recently lost our most important person, and you're talking about afterlife and New Age element, let's just go there for a moment. What is your view on that? If you feel like discussing it, or rather, what was the viewpoint in the book?
Okay, well, that's a good question. I believe that people have an energetic component to them. If you're looking at psychology, Freud, who is really the father of psychotherapy, had sensed and created the idea of consciousness and levels of consciousness, the ego, the superego, and the id. And that is explored in the book. And basically, if you were to explore it and expound upon it, perhaps New Age could lend to another level of our understanding of the energetic components of a human body, the unseen, which is why some people have a real problem understanding that maybe human beings have an unseen energetic component to them. For instance, I was watching Ghost Hunters with my husband. We watched all those shows together. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, there was one episode where, because, you know, Jay and Grant, you know, Jay at some point was a lot more skeptical when he first started out. And I think that the amount of skepticism is really good and healthy, because, you know, you have to do that to weed out the proof, like the actual proof from, you know, oh, it's like a particle of dust reflecting the light. You know, you have to be able to weed those things out. But I guess they were like sitting with some sort of psychic or whatever. And when the guy was interacting with, I guess, Grant, and they were taping it, they had like a device that could like see the energy fields around a person. And that when he was relating to the other person, you could see his, like the energy field around him expand outward toward the other person. So, you know, that really interested me. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, that could indicate that we all have an energy field around us that, you know, shifts and, you know, shifts when our intention shifts. And, you know, so it's really things like that that I really love. And I think it's something that's kind of neglected in the field. The fact that, you know, there's, you know, a lot of things that humanity has been learning and experiencing. There's people who really, really want to know for certain and to get that proof. And that's my jam. That's what really fascinates me.
I also enjoy your characters and your world building. And say, for example, Dr. Jack Gallagher plays a pivotal role in both Inside Dweller, and you have a companion story, 12 Hours, right?
That's right.
Yep. So how did his character evolve, and why was it important for you to expand his backstory to include 12 Hours?
Well, you know, authors are always looking for ways to, you know, to continue the story and the dialogue and to, you know, help readers, you know, just appreciate more, because I know what it's like to read like a book that you love so much and then you're so sad when it ends. I've experienced that before, you know, plenty of times before. I'm like, oh gosh, I want this story to continue. I want to watch these people every day. But, you know, it doesn't happen like that. So of course, you know, to help people along, you know, to add a little bit of interest to, you know, a little bit more interest to Gallagher, you know, I figured people might read the novel and say, well, gee, I wonder what happened there. That's pretty interesting. And then, you know, so that was just simply one of the opportunities to expand that. And it's a nice little short companion to Inside Dweller, and is actually Jack Gallagher. That's basically based off of my husband. And he actually experienced a prison riot as a correction officer in New England. And he and his fellow officer actually did fight off about 100 and or 120 prisoners that night for 12 hours. So it's a dedication to him and his resilience and his ability to fight for his life. I've never met anybody so strong in my life as my husband. And he's taught me a lot about resilience and just living, and believe it or not, living as simple and as stress-free of a life as possible. I guess when you've been through an experience like he had been, the rest of life could seem a lot easier in terms of just being able to navigate the day-to-day things and as easily as one possibly could. So, you know, of course, Jack Gallagher is endlessly fascinating to me because my husband is endlessly fascinating to me. And he has like a lot of qualities that my husband had. When I expand in later stories, Jack Gallagher is actually going to be featured because he has a very interesting wife. who has a very interesting background. And of course, it's always going to be tinged with the supernatural.
Oh my gosh, she does have a fantastic wife. I love all of what you just said.
Thank you.
I really do. Such a lovely, lovely tribute to your husband and such a gift to your readers to put them in your shoes where you have felt like, oh no, this book is ending. And now you're almost like mourning the loss of these characters, but to have them in second book to continue on and to have it be about your husband or kind of based on him. It's just such a lovely continuation. I'm so happy we talked about this. And you mentioned resilience, survival and resilience. Again, other aspects of the book. What do you hope at the end of the read? What do you hope that your readers take away from Miranda's journey?
I hope that people start thinking about what is our existence here? What is everything that makes me up? How do my challenges culminate in life? How did they form me as a person? How do I overcome difficulties and challenges? And basically, I do hope that from Miranda, they read her journey and, they realize they're inspired, and they realize, well, I have strength too. I can carry on and, I can survive, anything as long as I'm above ground. And, I can carry on and bring this with me and not have it completely destroy me like a tragedy, but have it help me learn how to, be here as long as possible. So, books often help us experience other people's struggles, but through fictional characters. And, of course, when we write stories, we don't want to write about, someone waking up, getting coffee, going to work, unless something extraordinary happens at work. But, we don't want to hear about a typical day. And then they come home and go to sleep while watching the news. We don't want to read that. Mm-hmm. We want to read a story that is, that stretches the bounds of the imagination and helps us try and imagine ourselves in it and, figure out, and stimulate us so that it's interesting and entertaining, but at the same time, maybe makes us examine something that we might think that we might do. Let's put it this way. No one wants the end of the world to come. But when I read Stephen King's book, The Stand, when I was, about 14 years old, it scared the pants off of me, first of all. And I asked my little sister if I could sleep in her bed that night because I was just really scared after reading his book. And she let me. So I was comforted. There was just one part that really creeped me out in that book, and I was really scared. But why do we do that to ourselves? So, I feel it's because, it helps us try and and why think about something so unpleasant as the end of the world? The end of the world, that's, if that happened, it would suck, like so badly it would suck. And it helps us like just kind of be able to experience something that we hope will never come to pass and in a non-threatening way. So, and then at the same time, entertain and, maybe make you think, the book that made me really think about, the afterlife was, A Prayer for Owen Meany. I remember reading that as a young adult and saying, yeah, well, what about these coincidences? Maybe they're not just coincidences. And that, you know, like those that I wanted people to maybe, if I was lucky, have that type of experience, that sort of epiphany while reading, you know, made up story. So.
When you finish a book, you always like to feel or want to feel that you've grown, that you've been challenged, not just enjoyed the book, but those things have happened in some fashion or format. So your book certainly does that. It offers such a wide range of themes and explorations. So I'm so happy we are having this conversation just to kind of fill in some of the blanks here. And I'm also thrilled that we're going to see more from Miranda and Jack in your upcoming books. How many more do you think?
Oh, at least four, because then I'm going to go back and, you know, fill in the blanks for Miranda's parents.
All right. We've got a lot to look forward from you. Is there anything we missed that you wanted to highlight today before we begin to wrap up?
No, I think we covered a nice piece here. So,
excellent. Well, then, if you would share contact information where folks can find out more about you and get copies of your books.
Okay. Well, KirstenSchuter.com. That's KirstenSchuder.com. Has had a makeover recently, finally and at long last. So you can come to the website and you can sign up for the email list and you'll get free stories, exclusive materials. I might actually be putting a thing out soon for beta readers to give me feedback on the second book. So you'll get an exclusive look of what this book is going to look like. That's always a lot of fun. I actually I served as editor on a wonderful series of books. They're called like the Arrow series, and it's written by a martial artist. And when he had me do some work on his book, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to see this book before it came out. It was so good. So that was a lot of fun. So if anyone wants to take the opportunity and become a beta reader for my second and third and fourth books, I would be forever grateful and give you some swag along with that. Mm-hmm. And you'll get exclusive looks into future books. And that rhyme was not intended. And
it was good though.
Oh, well, thank you. And So KirstenSchuter.com is my central hub. And then the book is Inside Dweller Genesis is available everywhere that you could buy books. The print copies are available on Barnes & Noble, and you know, it's even Walmart, Books a Million, but most of all, the most formats are available on Amazon.com.
All right. Excellent. Exclusive looks into upcoming books at KirstenSchuter.com. How's that?
That's beautiful.
Oh my gosh. So for those of you who are listening, if you enjoy stories that blur the lines between reality and the unknown, after this conversation, you know that this is a book you won't want to miss. Kirsten, thank you so much for sharing you and giving us a peek into the world of Inside Dweller. This is truly a unique reading experience, and I really enjoyed our conversation today. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's been so nice getting together with you, and you've been so gracious. I'm very grateful.